were talking about Brookvale. We heard from a mad Manly fan who loves this place and loves sitting out on the hill. Maybe different perspectives occasionally to broadcasters here in this 1975 Wonderment. But their CEO is futuristic. Tony Mestrov, he joins us in the box. How are you going, Tony?
Going very well. I think a bit of aircon wouldn't hurt Andrew. Would it?
Oh, you're going down a very dangerous path here, Messi.
Look, all I'll say is before we get on to what we really want to talk to you about, something with a breath of any sort of air, whether it be warm or cold, would be fantastic. Having a car park where we don't have to sit out the front of it for an hour and 10 minutes this morning would be awesome because we need to do some work here. And basically, if you, Tony, yourself could rip these boxes down and start again, that would also be awesome.
I'd do it myself. Look, in all seriousness, it's not up to standard. It's as simple as that, not only from a media point of view, but from a corporate point of view, the fans. I mean, the hill would stay, but we need to do something here. That's why I came out publicly on Tuesday and said, we're going to do something about this. I think I'm probably the fifth CEO to say it, but, you know, when I say it, I mean it, and we need to make changes, simple as that.
But you're relying, I assume, purely on government help?
No, and that's why we can control our future ourselves. It's about getting developers in here and cutting a deal. Obviously, we've got a lease club about a kilometre away, but it'd be having a lease club closer to the ground here and also producing other revenue streams. We're way down the list from the rich list, as you probably saw this morning. It's just not good enough, and we've got to be competitive against the Penriths and the Parramattas of this world, and we're just not at the moment from a revenue point of view. And, you know, it's all great from a from our point of view to have a sellout, but realistically, it's only over 17,000 today, so which is not good enough either.
No, and the other, and this is not to keep bashing on this particular venue, but I remember last year we were down wandering around before a game, looking for something to eat, and I said to Louis, imagine you've got an American visitor out here who's used to going to any stadium, whether it's college, football, NFL, basketball, baseball, ice hockey, and you bring them out, come to rugby league, sell out crap. It's embarrassing. And it's here, it's Jubilee, it's Leichhardt. I know their fans love those grounds, but just some of them aren't up to 2024 speed.
They're not. We had breakfast, Scott Penn and myself, with Al Guido, who's the chairman and CEO of the 49ers, and he was saying that it's a lot bigger over there in the revenue. I think we're just too small in some sense. So we need to look for new revenue streams. We need to be competitive, and we've got to change it up.
You spoke about the 49ers, Messi, and the ground here. There's been a couple of stories of late with your relationship with the 49ers. Can you tell us exactly where that's at, and is there a genuine interest from them to potentially invest in Manly?
There's a genuine interest. Scott Penn had a conversation with Al Guido, and that's more up to Scott than me, but there's genuine interest there. There's interest from Scott's point of view as well to get such a world-renowned organisation into us. The other thing is UFC, Scott came out and said, and that's true as well. The Australian-New Zealand Vice President lives in Manly. He's a Manly supporter. And if there's any way we can do an indoor stadium, 20-odd thousand seater, we could do it together. So when we've come out and said these are things that are actually happening, and we need to make it happen because it's just not good enough, as you know.
Because the thing we haven't heard before, Tony, you said, you know, you're the fifth CEO to talk about it. You're right. But that's been pleading to federal and state governments. It's not talking about it doing the way you're saying.
Correct. So we keep waiting for things. I'm sick of waiting for things. So we are taking the control of our own future, our own destiny ourselves, and we need to do that. So what's got me going is the positive and the support from developers. They know this is a good deal. They know it's a stadium that can actually raise revenue. Why can't we have bands here? Why can't we have other sports here? You've got the Ringarats, you've got the Manly Marlins, you've got local soccer. Why can't they all play out of here in the community as Manly Ringer? So we just haven't thought outside the square. And I've got, you know, well connected politically. So I want to use those contacts in the media to get something across the line.
Tony, I've got to ask you, what is the helmet that's out there on the ground?
That was a helmet that was made especially for the game in Vegas. So
yeah,
each
right.
team got one. So we got one of those. So, yeah, it's a replica of a... It's got, obviously, the Manly Seagull emblem on it. So it was presented to us.
I didn't wear it, reason, of course. Yeah, no, I thought for some reason you might have been playing because you both won over in Vegas, and the winner tonight
Vegas
obviously
Cup.
Gets the helmet. That's what I thought it was for.
It's a replica.
It's just a showcase. Go on, Michael.
touched on Vegas. Where are you guys at in terms of putting your hand up again for 2025? And do you think it's realistic that any of the four sides that competed a couple of weeks ago would go again?
I'm not sure whether they go again, but I put my interest forward to Andrew Abdo, who said we wanted to go again, because I believe if you go year on year, you can build those relationships, not only in Vegas, but the 49ers, the UFCs of this world. And if you don't, it'll be very difficult. You can't go every 3 years and expect to get any benefits out of it. So I don't know what the process is, neither does Andrew, but all I did was, on behalf of the club and Scott Penn, we put our interest forward for next year. So let's see what the process is. I will say this. We need a year to find out. People need to be able to save money to get there. We need a year to look at all the commercial opportunities. I mean, the NRL couldn't do anything about it. It was a short run-in, and I think everyone needs a long run-in. That's one of the learnings from Vegas.
Tell us about the process of that trip. I mean, I was lucky enough to be there with John Gibbs and Ryan Hoffman, and it was that Thursday night, the Fan Fest down at downtown, which is a good 35, 40 minutes away from where we were staying. We got there, didn't quite know where we had to go, and then when we were pointed in the right direction, it was like, my God, there are thousands of people everywhere. And I bumped into Anthony Seibold, and he's beaming smile. Jason Demetriou, beaming smile. Players, beaming smiles. You rarely see players and coaches embrace the hype of what's going on before them. Then 41,000 or just under at Allegiant Stadium for the game itself. But how big a process is it from a club perspective to get everyone there? You stayed in Vegas, or you were in Vegas exclusively rather than the other teams. What was the whole experience like from start to finish?
So it was satisfying. I think getting the win helps, right? But it was a huge amount of work on behalf of myself and the staff. It was Herculean. The problem was, logistically, we'd never been there before, so we didn't have our contact base in there because it was the first time. So there was a hell of a lot of work, and, you know, they pulled that event off in Fremont Street. Even I saw guys I played against in England. It was amazing.
Right,
it was a lot of people from England as well. So it got worldwide attention. And now, you know, the English sides now want to come. I know they're expressing their interest as well, which is fantastic. But it took a hell of a lot of work. I can't help but think, now we've gone there one time, we can do it better. Like, we need a bigger lead-in time. We need to be more organised around, I need to send a party of my events team before, and would have done that. We only went from a football sense, but we'd have to take a commercial team and an events team to case it out and then to get the benefits of in the future.
What about in terms of playing-wise, a great performance in week one? There's a buzz amongst the outsiders, I guess, and the Manly faithful here. How deep can you guys go into this competition?
Look, I think, like every probably CEO said in Manly, we need our fair share of injuries, but that's true. If we have our fair share of injuries, we're in it. Just watching the games over the last couple of weeks and our performance last week, we've got genuine speed, and I think that'll take us a long way. You know, we've got a few forwards to come back in Toff Sipley and Matt Lodge. I think it'll make a difference. Josh Schuster played today, so I think realistically, without any prediction, that, you know, we're a big chance of a top eight spot, no doubt about it.
You mentioned Josh Schuster. We saw him get through 80 minutes. I know you're not the coach, but what do you think Anthony Seibold needs to see before he's back into first grade?
I think fitness-wise, he's had an up-and-down off-season. He needs to string some games together. Second row's a different spot. It's not, you know, ball-playing and kind of playing lateral. It's more playing straighter. And I'm not one to give advice, but I think I'd like to see Josh, you as a second rower, Luke. You know, he needs to straighten up more. He's probably got to earn the right to go through the line first and then pass, rather than pass before the line, because he probably played like a bit of a 5-8 today, but he's a project. You know, he's really one of those players. You get him right, he can win you a grand final. So, you know, we've got full faith in him. He does need a bit of work, but we're backing him.
A question here from a listener. Mark says, is Sir Ken Atherton at the ground this afternoon?
Now, unfortunately, Ken's not down here today. His health hasn't been that great without anything serious over the last 6 months. He will be down during the year. He's back living on the Gold Coast, so unfortunately he's not here today.
Well, just the last one before you go. Brooksy, how's he fitted into the club?
He's fitted amazingly well. I actually got the plane home with his wife. She was on the plane, said he's so happy. And I think he, from outside looking in, training and so on, he doesn't feel the pressure. You know, Turbo takes over, so does Daly, from backline movement. He just feels like he just has to do his job. So I think that's part of it. You can see that he's always got a smiling face. You can just see the pressure's off him. So last week he played really well. I expect him to step up for today as well against a better opposition.
I know Louis is taking it on himself to wrap this interview up. But I mean, you're a former player with Manly. From a playing perspective, do the players adapt to the travel with Vegas. I remember when the LA Dodgers and the Arizona Diamondbacks came out here to play to start an MLB season, there was their own air conditioning on the plane. In the hotels, they reconditioned the air conditioning to reduce the effects of jet lag and so on. How did the players cope coming and going?
Yeah, they cope really well. We've probably our best acquisition in the off-season has been John Clark. John Clark is a high-performance manager. He was the high-performance manager at England Rugby for the last 6 years. They had a lot of overseas travel, so John set a program, and they've come back filling $1 million. So he set a program in place, sleep, whether it be air conditioning, whether it be massages and so on. So that's run absolutely perfectly and seamlessly over the last couple of weeks. So there's no excuses today, Andrew.